The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
This is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Sal Tartaglia, and Marianne Castello. Talking everything sports, everything Philly style. Liberty Bell Smack, right here, right now. And you are listening to Liberty Bell Smack. It's that lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. I am Marianne Castello, your host for this evening. And you can listen five ways, whichever works best for you. If you're in Philadelphia, you can tune into WWDB AM Talk 860. But if it went dark, there's no need to fear because you can listen to us several different ways on HD2 radio station 97.5 or download the WWDB radio app, listen anytime, anywhere, or you could go right to WWDBAM.com and click listen live. And tonight, I got to tell you, Santa is playing tricks on us. He put us in a different studio, as you can see. So we have a different call-in number for tonight for Santa Claus, and that is 888-728-9941. And I'm going to bring on my host very quickly right now. He is a broadcast vet born in Pittsburgh, but raised in sunny LA. You know him from his years in the ring with Extreme Professional Wrestling on TV. He's got over 17 years behind the mic from San Diego to Los Angeles with SiriusXM, the SB Nation, American Force Network, and now Philly on WWDBAM, as well as the Saucy Spin Online radio show and the Breaking It Down podcast. If it's sports, he's done it or he knows all about it. Let's welcome Mr. Mark Mancini. Hey, Mark.
Boy, I love this, man. A couple days before Christmas, if you can conquer Philly, you can conquer anywhere in this United States. I love it. The Rocky statues I'm tossing the cheesesteaks around here. I'm knocking the Liberty Bell. You're here. You got your little Christmas presents and everything. You look like a little reindeer there. Oh my gosh, I am jacked and ready to go with these guests.
Oh my God, it is the Christmas spectacular and everything that can happen. Like I said, see the interference. I think Rudolph is flying around. And you know what? I know you can't see this if you're listening, but I spared you the red blinking nose, okay? Because I had that too. Couldn't help myself, but I'm going to go right to our next host. He is a product of the schools and playing fields of Drexel Hills, Delaware County, by way of Southwest Philadelphia. He's been in the Navy. He's been in the construction industry and was a nuclear medicine tech. And while doing all of that, he even had time to compile over 30 years of highlights and stats of World Series games and published his first book, World Series Chronology. While doing press for the book, he developed a taste for broadcasting. And here he is. Let's welcome Sal Tartaglia. Hey, Sal. It's all kinds of problems. We're having audio problems. So you know what? I know Sal says hi.
He's a hydrant out there. Now he's arguing with the meter maid.
Well, that's okay. Because you know what? This is a sports show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I decided that in sports, fishing is a sport, right? Yeah, right? Exactly. Am I right? Okay, so bear with me, because on this Christmas spectacular of Liberty Bell Smack, I'm going fishing right away, okay? Right for you guys. Okay, I'm casting my line.
Okay.
Oh, trying to reel this in. I got something.
You brought another reindeer.
Oh, you're not going to believe what I have. It is your boy's lucky day today. Are you ready? You ready? I got me some mistletoe. That's what I caught on my fishing line.
Unbelievable.
God, I don't even get a kiss either. Look at that. You know, I'm not good at
fishing. We'll give you one 3,000 miles away.
Well, I got to tell you, tonight we have a great show planned for you. We have great guests. And I have to tell you, if you're going to call in tonight, it is our Christmas spectacular. You will be surprised on every phone call. So give us a call and you could talk to our guests at 888-728-9941. Again, that Santa Claus hotline is 888-728-9941. 728 9941. And I have our first guest who is actually waiting out in the green room. He is an award-winning sports writer at the Southern California News Group in Los Angeles, California, specializing in Major League Baseball that includes the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Los Angeles Angels. You may have seen his works in the Orange County Register, Riverside Press Enterprise, the San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, LA News, Long Beach Press Telegram, the Torrance Daily Breeze, Pasadena Star News, and the San Gabriel Valley Tribune, and the Whittier Daily. His published book of 2015, entitled The 50 Greatest Dodgers Games of All Times, has obtained nearly 5 stars on Amazon and features all the best players to don the uniform. Sandy Koufax, Jackie Robinson, Kirk Gibson, Zach Wheat, Fernando Valenzuela, Oral Hershiser, and more. It also features some of the unsung heroes of baseball history, like Cookie LaVigato, Vic Dalalillo, I hope I pronounced that right, and Santi Amoros, for their performances for the first time are laid side by side in his account of the greatest Dodgers game ever played. And in 2016, he was a top 10 finisher for breaking news in the 175,000 and over circulation category of the Associated Press Sports Awards. In 2020, he won first place in the LA Press Club's Life and Time of the Coronavirus Essay Contest. He's a regular panelist on television shows for Access Sportsnet Dodgers, the nightly highlights show on Sportsnet LA, and an occasional guest on ESPN SportsCenter and Outside the Lines. In his spare time, he was a musician, a substitute teacher, and even a grocery bagger. Today, he lays down his pen, stops his typing, takes his coffee break with us. Let's welcome J.P. Hornstra to Liberty Bell Smack. Hey, J.P., how are you?
I'm doing great. You got everything on, off of that resume in there. Ooh, my goodness.
It's getting hot in here.
She is good, J.P., man. When I did radio, I said, this girl, I need to align myself with. She is absolutely excellent. It's like hitting two gold treasure chests.
That was the most thorough introduction I've ever received in any venue in my life. Thank you so much.
Wow. You are so welcome.
Hey, JP, I got to tell you, man, the Orange County Register, that is a darn good paper, man. You know, I like it a little bit better than the LA Times because it seems like it's a little bit more in depth, gives you a little bit more, you know, the calendar and everything as far as what's going on in the surrounding areas. When you look at the paper you work for and everything, where would you compare this, like, with the Philadelphia Inquirer, the New York Daily News, the Boston Globe, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette? You could be biased.
Yeah, well, I guess my bias is that your local newspaper should try to cover local news. And I think all the papers that you mentioned just now, to the extent I'm familiar with them, do a pretty good job of that. You know, Philadelphia Inquirer, that's a Philly paper. The New York Daily News, that's a New York paper. And the Orange County Register is an Orange County paper. If you want the news in Orange County, that's the Register. You pick it up. Same thing with all the papers that were mentioned in my introduction. We really care about the community. We really care about letting you know what's happening and when and who are the big movers and shakers in your city. And I take a lot of pride in that and knowing that my local readers, just like me, where I live, are really invested in this community and not just passing through.
You know, my dad always used to say, son, nobody really cares what you know till they know how much you care. And you used the word care. Who cared enough about you to open up a door to really broaden your horizons? Because I think you're a damn good reporter, man.
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I'm so glad, Mark, that you're giving me an opportunity to shout out these people on this venue, because they never get enough love, right? The people who help us along the way. I would not be here without Ken Hart of the Vallejo Times Herald hiring a fresh-faced UCLA graduate 18 years ago to come write for a small community paper in Northern California in a city I've never lived or worked in before or even set foot in my life. And Ken, last I checked, he works as a police dispatcher out in San Francisco. So he's doing far more important work than editing the local sports section. But if it weren't for him, I would be, I don't know what I'd be doing, Mark. You know, I was given a chance to be on the baseball beat by Gene Warnick, who's now, I believe, still working in the industry up in the Seattle area. My first chance covering pro sports came from Lewis Brewster of the Inland Valley Daily Bulletin. God rest his soul. Lewis was probably the foremost expert on the National Hot Rod Association as far as independent journalists go in his lifetime. And he saw enough in me to let me take on professional sports as a beat and move me off of high school. And I can't talk about where I am today without talking about Ken and Lewis and Gene.
Wow. You know, the tie-ins with Philadelphia and the Dodgers goes back. They've met five times to settle the National League Championship Series. The Dodgers went in 77 and 78, and the Phillies coming back and taking the next three. With everything that's gone on with these two cities going back and forth, and you look at Mike Soch over the years and Tommy Lasorda, you know, God rest his soul, a Norristown guy. What's your take on these cities going back and forth five times to fight for the World Series? I mean, there's a lot of tradition here.
Yeah, there is a lot of pride. Man, that's the first word that comes to mind, is that Dodger fans take pride in being Dodger fans. And much in the same way that Phillies fans, Eagles fans, Flyers fans, you've just gone down the line. There's a lot of pride there. Sixers fans. You know, I obviously I know more about the LA crowd, and I think there's a lot of, what's the word I would say? There's a lot of poo-pooing, I think, from certain parts of the country, toward, what is perceived to be passivity, on the part of, Southern California sports fans. But Mark, you know, as well as anything, that number one, they travel really well. There is no sporting venue in the country you can go to where if it's the Dodgers or if it's the Lakers, especially those two teams, those fans don't show up on the road. They always show up on the road. They will travel to see their team. They're everywhere. And I would cordially invite you to come to a game at Dodger Stadium in the postseason and find one that is not sold out, because they always sell out. I mean, just a lot of pride in both locales.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you look at the way the Dodgers are, 8 division titles, how would you compare that to the Atlanta Braves that won 14 in a row? When you compare both these teams, you know, the Braves and the Dodgers over that stretch of winning titles?
Very favorably. The parallels run really deep. When I think about those Braves teams in the 90s and the early 2000s, of course, the first thing you think about is the pitching and specifically the starting rotation. And you can draw a pretty straight line from Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine to Clayton Kershaw, Hyunjin Ryu, some of the guys who passed through like Rich Hill, Zach Greinke, Max Scherzer more recently, and some of the young guys who have really taken over that staff, Walker Buehler and Julio Urias. You know, it just seemed like the Braves kept cranking out good young pitchers throughout the 1990s and early 2000s. And it really feels like the Dodgers are doing that now. You know, the other two things that I'll mention is that the Braves only won one World Series in that span. And so far the Dodgers, for all their dominance over the last decade, have only won one World Series. And I think more than anything of that just goes to show how difficult it is in baseball to repeat and repeat consistently. And the other thing I'll mention is Stan Kasten, Dodgers president. Stan Kasten was the general manager of the Braves, you know, in the 80s and early 90s. And he really precipitated that shift that the Braves made to drafting and developing and to really placing an emphasis on pitching and having a sustainable replenishment of players throughout the years. And he brought that straight into LA. And I he's the other guy who you can't talk about both teams without mentioning Stan.
Hey, tell us about the TV experience, man. You look like Pat Riley out there, man. Looked like you just put the surfboard off to the side, got up there, man. I love seeing you on Spectrum there. Tell us about the crew there. You got Oral Hershiser, you got the rest of the guys there. I mean, give us a little insight to the listeners in Philly on that great gig you got.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Gosh, Pat, you're the first person to ever compare me to Pat Riley, and you might be the last, but I will take it. That is one good-looking man. well, it's fun. You know, my background is in print journalism, and so to go to TV – At first, it was a little intimidating, but you know, all those guys that you mentioned, Oral Hershiser, Jerry Harrison Jr. is part of the crew, Nomar Garcia-Para, they're all really welcoming. I'll throw a name out there that everybody in Philadelphia should know, Chase Utley. Did a little bit of work with Spectrum Sportsnet LA in the past year, and just all really easy guys to work with. You know, I've been in the studio with all of those guys, with the exception of Chase. Oral really does play-by-play, or rather color commentary during the games, so I haven't had a chance to be with him in the studio. But Jerry Harrison, Major League veteran, Nomar Garcia-Para, another Major League veteran. Those guys are really easy to sit and talk baseball with, whether you're on camera or off camera. And it's, I don't know, I, again, call me biased here, but I think we do a pretty good job. I think it's a pretty good show as far as team-specific baseball shows for the pre and the post game, and also during the offseason.
Yeah, when you look at Jerry Harrison Jr., man, you must got to keep him in check. I like that guy. He'd fit Philadelphia. All he needs to do is kind of wear like a green suit or something, look like the Riddler. He'd fit right in Philadelphia.
I feel like Jerry played in pretty much every baseball market, and so everybody has a good Jerry Harrison story. I think probably the one market that he didn't play in, ironically, was Philadelphia. So, but he won a World Series with the Yankees in 2009, and he's really happy to remind you of that. That one World Series championship that he won, but he's retired to the West Coast, and we're happy to have him.
Well, speaking of that, we're also happy to have you right here. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Liberty Bell Smack on WWDBAM Talk 860. We're here every Thursday night from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Primetime Drive Time. And just letting you know, we are on Facebook Live right now. And as you can see behind me, there's a toy box and a whole toy sack right behind me right here. And if you see that, that means if you call in, something special might happen. So call us at 888-728-9941. And again, if you can hear us, you could watch us on Facebook Live. You could download the WWDB app. You can listen on HD2 Radio at 97.5. And I know that we have a lot of friends out in Philadelphia. And I can tell you that it's usually Sal who walks around the streets, and I know that Sal's with us, and he's looking handsome, and he's looking real good. But somehow, you know, like I said, when you have all that radar going on and everybody tracking Santa, things go awry. But I know that he's got a best friend, and that's at JT Auto Body, his friend Joey Turner, and they're there for superior auto body repair at very reasonable prices. You can bring your damaged vehicle to JT Auto Body, located at Road and Fallcroft, Pennsylvania. You can call 610-534-1643 for expert work performed by owner Joey Turner's staff of certified technicians. Again, that number is 610-534-1643. And I know that we have a lot of stuff, like right back here, where you can't see it. I don't leave cookies and milk for Santa. I decided I was going to leave him chocolate-covered pretzels and wine. And I'm trying to think, would that get me on the Google list? I'm not sure.
Ask a question.
Yes, of course you can, Sal.
Oh, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
We thought you were playing Santa and you were on the roof. I guess we lost him again.
I think we did.
But I know we got a few
back
more minutes.
Back on the roof.
Yeah. You know, a few more minutes with JP. And, you know, between JP and our next guest here, Dave coming in here shortly, you know, they got something in common, Mary Ann. Do you know that?
No. What do they have in common?
Well, they're both graduates of UCLA, so don't bring out the USC Trojan stuff or anything like that. You do not want to bring that stuff out. So,
amen,
if you got
amen.
Anything red and gold, keep it in the back, Mary Ann.
I will keep it in the back, I promise. It's in the sack.
Hey, JP, I wanted to ask you about, you know, the Dodgers, you know, the winter now. I know we got a pause with, you know, the strike going on here. We don't know how long this thing's going on. We haven't had one since, I think 94, but this is going to be really interesting to see where this thing goes. What's your take on this whole thing? You got the players on one side, the owners on another. I know a lot of people, you know, get on the players on this thing, and I'll throw you my two cents on it. But where do you feel this is going to go? And are we in this for a long haul here? And what are we going to be doing in the summer, my friend?
I think by summer we're going to be watching baseball. Don't ask me about spring, man. That could get pretty icky. You know, the problem really for the players is that they are upset with the distribution of money and how it is really not flowing to free agents the way that it used to. And moreover, the fact that it isn't flowing to some of the best players in the game, because baseball is trending young. I mean, let's look at a guy, for example, like Wander Franco. Wander Franco was the American League, third in American League Rookie of the Year voting, and he made really less than the major league minimum because he wasn't in the major leagues the whole season. And then after the season, he signed this, of course, very long contract extension. And it just isn't logical that Wander Franco could be worth about $300,000 roughly 1 year, and then worth $20 million the next, right? That's not reflective of Wander Franco's value to the Tampa Bay Rays. It's not reflective of his skill. And I think where it's easy to sympathize with the players is they're pointing this out to the owners, and they're saying, look, our best players are getting paid some of the least money, and free agency isn't rewarding players in the way that it used to, whereby a handful of very elite players are getting very elite money. And if you happen to become a free agent at the wrong age, regardless of your talent, you seem to be getting left out in the cold. And I think those are legitimate issues. And the problem for the owners is that they don't want to change the system because it's helping them out quite a bit. You know, baseball is a very lucrative industry. I don't think you'll ever see a franchise go for sale for less than $1 billion. So if you and your buddies own a baseball team, you've got a $1 billion asset in your portfolio. They don't want that to change. The players are having an uphill battle in that regard.
Right. And I guess there's a trust factor here, you know, because the players are trying to tell, you know, say to the owners, if you're really losing money, just let's see your books here. And the owners right. don't want to do that. And that's a big problem there, because if you can't trust somebody, then everything seems to be going out the window. I know in Pittsburgh, being a Pirate fan, and you know, the Pirates are in a rebuilding process here, but this thing looks like it's going to be a long haul. I'm on the player side of things here, because I think to be a Major League Baseball player, I think it's the hardest thing in life. No disrespect to doctors and lawyers, but I remember I had a guy one time say, well, you know, they're making millions. Nobody says anything. It's Sly Stallone's making $20 million on the film. And if you think you can hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball, load the family up in the country, Squire, head to Arizona or Florida. See if you can hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball, they'll give you $1 million contract. Any thoughts
Absolutely.
On that?
Yeah, so here's what I would add to that. You know, this past year, Major League Baseball added every Negro League player to the list of all-time major leaguers. Okay, thousands of people became major leaguers as a result of that in the last year. And even after that, Mark, even after that, after you include every Negro League player, every American League player, every National League player going back to basically 1874, you still could not fill any current Major League stadium with the number of Major League players who have ever lived in history. That's how hard it is to be a Major League Baseball player. So they have my sympathy as well. I think they have a very difficult job. It's the most grueling schedule in professional sports in terms of games played, in terms of how few days off you get between February and September or October, depending on when your season ends. And I think to be compensated a fraction of what these teams are worth for that schedule is more than fair.
Wow. I'm so blessed you spent some time with us. Let me tell you something. Tell those guys back at Spectrum, you're the Pat Riley. Mancini coined the phrase from Philadelphia. We got to get you a hair sponsor or something. A gel manufacturer or something, brother. We love you on this. Marianne, what do you say? Can we push that from Philly to LA?
Oh, I think we can. Absolutely. And I know that JP's coffee break is done right about now. So we have to let him get back to work, right, JP?
Yep, I'm going to get back to my Hall of Fame ballot. I get to fill one out, so I'll be doing that today.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to Liberty Bell Smack, and we hope to have you back real soon. And thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and being here to talk to all our Philly fans as well. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And if you are just tuning in, you are tuning in to the Christmas Spectacular right here on Liberty Bell Smack. And we are live right now on Facebook. And you could also listen to us at WWDBAM Talk 860. And just so you know, there's people that have done it, and it has been fantastic, where they call to give us comments, they write to us, and they even are opinionated. We love those good ones and those bad ones. We will absolutely listen, everybody. And if you want to be part of that, you could drop us a line at libertybellsmack@gmail.com. And Mark, have you had any trouble with cars lately?
Yeah, I have. But, you know, you always got to upgrade. So then you really put that problem behind you. But yeah, well, I'm trying to wonder if Sal now is working on a nice car.
Well, I know that Sal, he went missing because I know that he is with the owner, Joey Turner, from JT Auto Body. And I know that they told me to let you know that for Superior Auto Body Repair at very reasonable prices, you can bring that damaged vehicle to JT Auto Body. They're located at 416 Primos Road in Fallcroft, Pennsylvania. And you could call them at 610-534-1643 for expert work performed by all his staff of certified technicians. Again, that number is 610-534-1643. And look, we don't need any body work today. We're good, right?
Yeah. I tell you, man, Sal's got his hand in everything, man. Maybe he's making cheesesteaks. Bring him to the studio. Pass him on to our great guest here tonight.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to get right to that great guest because he's been sitting in our green room so patiently listening to all of our nonsense and shenanigans, but then he got to listen to a great guest. Are you ready, Mark?
I am definitely ready. Anytime you're ready, I'm ready.
I'm absolutely ready. Okay, he is a lead NCAA men's college basketball official, leading and overseeing top athletic talent in live, televised, pressure-filled events for the NCAA, ABA, Pro-Am, and FIBA leagues, and for regional, national, and international championship games. As an international program director and ambassador, he leads teams that are eager to make a difference overseas, traveling to over 60 countries of the world, recruiting, training, and directing teams of goodwill ambassadors serving in Germany, Japan, England, Mexico, Russia, Israel, and Thailand. He is also a radio host, podcaster, and mastermind leader, hosting weekly shows in the greater Los Angeles area on KHTS AM 1220, guest host for KKLA, that's FM 99.5, and guest appearances on KFI AM 640. On the court, he's able to control the game, make big calls under pressure, and manages alpha coaches and competitive players. But when he's off the court, he removes his stripes and his whistle and becomes a game-changing success life coach, where he helps others to get the control, make the calls, manage the pressure, and seize winning results by utilizing his 3 decades of proven experience as a fit pro-life coach, a lead strong executive coach, a life bridge wellness coach, and an iron sharp faith coach. And his motto, it's my honor to inspire the inspired. It's my passion to bring out more of the hero in you, championing champions. And that's exactly what he is doing with all of us today. Let's have a big Liberty Bell Smack welcome to Dr. Dave White. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Marianne. Merry Christmas to you and Mark and the rest of you all. It's just great to be with you.
Well, thank you for putting up with us. We might need a little counseling from you by the time we're done.
You're so festive. I love the reindeer antlers. I love the silk hat. I love the blinking lights. I just want to see some antlers on Mark now. I think.
Yeah. Going to run down to the local Payless and get some. I'll be ready next week for them. But, Dave, the first thing that stands out, the last time I heard somebody, doctor, I thought, you're in great company, because I thought of Dr. Jack Ramsey. the old Portland Trail Blazers coach, the Buffalo Braves and everything. Nice comments about that great doctor too.
Look, anyone who gets a doctorate has a little bit of sadism in them, must be willing to work hard, do the hard things. I have a lot of respect. He seems like a great guy. I don't know him that well, but Mark, you know a lot of doctors.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm blessed. The good Lord's put a lot of good people in my life. When you look at what you had at an early beginning, you had two good parents, your dad, a tennis coach, a basketball coach, a lifeguard, your mom, an educator and a coach. I mean, it's just what a upbringing to have that. And boy, it's just capitalized as far as what you've taken in your everyday life. You want to take the listeners through that, how that was? Because that's simply amazing in my book.
Well, I'm just fortunate. You know, all of us know if you want to build a good life, you have to have a good foundation. I just am fortunate and blessed that I had a mom and a dad that have stuck together. They've already been married over 60 years. That led to me being able to marry my beautiful wife, Sue, who's just such a gem. We've been together 35 years, have 5 grown kids, three of them are married, got a couple grandkids. Legend is on the way, our first boy grandson. And we got little Kessler, who's number 2 years old. But, you know, to me, we're in the sports world, so we know what it's like to try to achieve that championship trophy, to get all the way, to make the finals of something, to win the big game. But when all is said and done, it all comes back to just faith and family and friends. After you get done with your big game, take your big trophy home, take your shower and get home, I hope there's someone there. You're not going to enjoy a good Christmas. You're not going to have a great life. The foundation of life is relationships. In fact, even when I'm officiating on the court, I'm always reminded it's not about rules. It's not about fouls. It's not about violations. It's not about calling calls. It's about relating to people, serving people, and loving people well. I'm just grateful that my parents laid a great foundation for us.
Now, a lot of X's and O's in that family growing up, a lot of timeouts. Take us through that with mom and dad growing up.
Well, mom and dad, you know, I'm just super proud of them. Both my parents actually were orphans. They had a really tough go of their life, but they chose to come together with a little bit of grit and gumption and make the most of it. They raised 3 kids. I'm the oldest of 3. Got a sister and a brother. They each have 3 kids. Look, we're just blue jean, ordinary, put your jeans on kind of people. There's nothing fancy, nothing elite, nothing, you know, amazing. But common people who roll up their sleeves, work hard, can make a difference in the world. And people that don't, think it's all about them, but are out to serve, I think go very far. And that's what you guys are doing. You're blessing a lot of people on the air. And I hope to do that, whether it's on the court with a life coach client or wherever.
21 years, the NCAA as a ref. I mean, you must have seen a lot. Tell us about some of the universities you went to, the hostile environments, the places you go, wow, you know, on downtime, taking pictures, looking around and trying to, you know, double clutch it and say to yourself, wow, I can't believe I'm looking at this place. Is there anything maybe that stands out? Give us 3 cities that stand out, 3 venues.
Well, lots of things come to mind. Like I loved reffing in Palestine. I was based in Bethlehem, Israel, working with officials, training them, and just seeing how basketball actually brought joy to a very rife, conflicted area, and just seeing people come together who normally would disagree, but somehow on the court, they had mutual respect for each other. I love that. Though I'm not used to reffing with guys with machine guns in the stadium, but that was a little unusual. But, you know, that comes to mind. I remember flying into my first game at Idaho State in Pocatello, Idaho. And I'm just like, apparently they have nothing to do in Pocatello because it seemed like the whole city showed up for the game. They were allowed to drink in the stadium. So it's very festive and very spirited and very fun. So, you know, sometimes you go to those just little venues and you go, wow, this is bringing people a lot of joy. And of course, right now, because we're in COVID and stuff, people are seeing, gosh, we need to be together. We need to connect. There's something about having something on your calendar and going to something. And I've loved reffing this year. It's been a little bit different. It doesn't matter what the venue is. There's always been a very competitive edge, of course, within the NCAA, But this year there seems to be just a sense of not only do they want to win, but it's like, if we could just play, we'd be happy. Like if we could just like not cancel our game and just have people there and be on the team, people just are returning back to those old fashioned values of be grateful. It's just a privilege to actually play a game and not have it canceled. So I'm enjoying that. Lots of stories come to mind. I'll tell you one more story that comes to mind is that back in 2005, I had a chance to referee the national championship game for Division II with the NC2A, and super cool. Got to ref with two referees around the country that I'd never met before. But after the game, we're in our locker room, and you know, there was the TV cameras and all the hoopla and stuff. Both my partners, who I didn't know that well, right, were very depressed. And I was like, what's going on? And they're like, that's it. I'm like, what do you mean that's it? They're like, that's it. And there was that realization, it's just a game. It was still just 40 minutes. And now we're still in a locker where we just got to take a shower with a little white towel. We got to dry off, change, get on a plane and go home. And so if there's nothing to go home to, no championship trophy, no Heisman, no Super Bowl, no ring, no nothing, no making the highest game you can as a referee is going to do it. We need love. We need people in our lives. We need each other. So there's another story for you.
And you are sitting here bringing us joy, love, and happiness right here on Liberty Bell Smack. We are so grateful. And if you are just tuning in, there is a big toy sack behind me, and you could win something very easily by calling in at 888-728-9941. You might be out browsing, but there's a perfect gift right behind you. And I'm telling you, it's our Christmas spectacular, our once a year Christmas spectacular, spreading joy. So please call us at 888-728-9941 before we're running out of time. And then you're going to run out of time too. But we are speaking with our guest right now, Dr. Dave White. Just what you said about having love and happiness, I think now, even when you're at the sporting games and all, I think people in the stands are starting to become united and doing different things and all. But I think the importance of keeping fun in these games is key. And are you able to do that when you're on the courts and you're doing your things beside your seminars and your life coaching? But how do you deal with that when you're with the players?
Well, you know, the goal of a referee, again, isn't just to blow the whistle and be a police cop out there. The goal is to facilitate. I think the best officials do what we call dead ball officiating. Mm-hmm. That means we actually officiate when the ball's not live and they're actually playing. That means we walk over to their huddles. We talk to players as they're coming out to the court. Hey, quick grab a number 42. Hey, stay straight up, buddy. You know, hey, keep your hands off. You know, you do all that kind of relational management so the game goes smoothly. Guys, you know, wink at you, guys give you a thumbs up. They're like, okay, ref, I got it. It's like, look, we're here to have fun. People want to watch you. They don't want us to stop the game. Every time we blow the whistle, we stop the whole game. Who wants to do that? That's so frustrating. You guys play on, come on, work with me. And if you're relational and you're warm and you're affectionate and, you know, you're just normal and you're not out there, Mr. Cop, I'm going to try to get you. It goes really well. And then people, I do think, have a lot of fun. Win or lose. Look, we're going to win some, we're going to lose some, but people have a lot of fun in sports. It's so great. It's one of those things that brings people together, and we need that now more than ever.
Mm-hmm. You know, Doc, you know, when you look at getting into refereeing, who was instrumental in getting you into refereeing? Because, man, a lot of people don't go down that road, but man, there must have been somebody in your life that got you into that, because that's a real good field to get into, I would think, because you're seeing a lot of things up close. You're seeing character, you're seeing talent, you're seeing adversity. Take us through that.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate. My dad actually was a professional referee for the USFL back in the day, and the Pac, I think it was the Pac-6 or Pac-8 back in the day, now it's 10 and 12. So I grew up with a dad who did football and basketball reffing. So as a kid, I went to a lot of games, probably three a week, you know, just sitting in the stands, watching dad, hanging out. And so naturally, when I graduated from UCLA, it just seemed like a great opportunity to meet people and maybe serve on the court. And I've really loved it. And one of the things I really love about it is there isn't an intensity to the game, but I love a referee who's able to diffuse things. You know, having been a player myself, having coached myself, I know like coaches have such a brutal job, And I love referees who have empathy for that. Like when they see a coach melting down, it's like, the goal is not to go over and tee him. The goal is to try to diffuse it and see if you can keep him in the game and kind of walk him off the ledge and kind of go, coach, work with me. Like, you got quit throwing chairs. You know, you got to kind of hang over here. And I think over time, when you do it year after year, people go, you know what? I was really mad at that referee, or I'm not sure I agreed with that call, but I love that guy. He's straight up. He's honest. He's fair. He doesn't show me up. He's humble. And he serves the game. So that's a lot of life, right? It's serving people and blessing people and getting over ourselves.
Well, I respect you enough where I won't tell you, give us a name of somebody, but how long was your leash? And take us through something where you really didn't want to ring somebody up for a tee, but this guy just kept going on and on and on. And it take us through that. Maybe after the game where the guy just maybe came up to you and kind of thought, you know what, I deserve the tee. Any stories about something like that?
Lots of stories like that. If I can do it, the goal is to help a coach save face. It's not stick your chest out and kind of go, I've got the authority and the power here. It's not even about us, you know. But I do remember one coach who was pretty heated, you know, and he came out, he got a tee earlier by one of my partners. Of course, when you get two tees, you're done, you know. Yeah. And for some reason, he came running out to the center of the court with a lot of histrionics and choreography, and some colorful vocabulary. And I just put my hand kind of behind his back and walked him off the court. And I said, hey, buddy, between you and I, I'm throwing you out of the game. I'm not going to make a scene here. I don't need to be dramatic. No one in the stadium needs to know, but you got 1 minute. You're going to have to leave now because you're just not on your best game tonight. But it's not personal. I care about you. Can you do that for me? And goes, so you're not going to like do it publicly and make a big deal? No, I'm just going to walk to the table and tell them what we're discussing. And they're going to shoot two free throws. And you can just graciously like go off the court. So he's like, okay, I'll go off the court. So he walked off. I go over the table and I said, we've got a technical foul on the coach. That's his second. So he's going to be leaving now. No big deal. We're going to shoot two free throws and continue the game. And he did say to me later, not then, but I saw him at a summer league thing. And he said, you know what? That was really classy. I felt like he didn't shame me, but I deserve to be thrown. And I graciously walked out. So there you go.
I love that. Hey, you know what, Mary? It sounds like something in an Italian restaurant. You just slip the guy, you know, and go, let's not make a big scene. Let's just kind of go this way.
Absolutely. As he steals your man of God.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Sometimes we're going to have you come on, Doc, just to help referee us on the show half the time.
He's going to help Sal get back on the show next week.
Yeah. Poor Sal. I could see he was struggling. His mic wasn't working and sound wasn't working. And you can see, but what a good guy he is. All three of you have really done a great job of helping people, encouraging people. People are driving home tonight. It's Christmas Eve. I'm even going to a Christmas Eve service tonight.
There you go.
Tomorrow's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And you guys bring a lot of love and a lot of light and good cheer. So thank you for all you guys do.
Well, it's incredible. Thank you so much for that. And Sal, I have to say, he's had a tough couple of days. Yeah. And for him to try to come on to the show because he had to have, you know, a medical emergency had happened to him. As you could see, he's fine, but a scare. And for him, he couldn't make it right into the studio. So he was trying to do it and be part of our Christmas spirit. He was trying so hard. And I guess, you know, like I said, little radar's got things going crazy. So we lost him. But I know he had some really good questions for you. And we'll definitely have you back for that.
His story and a lot of our stories is very similar to the first Christmas story. You know, first Mary finds out you're going to have a baby and it's not from your husband. It's like, okay, that's not what I was planning. And then Joseph finds out, by the way, you thought you were going on a honeymoon. You're not. You're going to have to go pay taxes and ride on a donkey. And then they get to Bethlehem. It's like, I'm sorry, you didn't make reservations, but there's no place in the inn. We're going to do the whole thing out in a manger. And then, by the way, King Herod wants to kill your child. So do you guys mind not building that little new marriage cottage and just like heading down to Egypt? You know, I mean, the story goes on and on and on. So even in the first Christmas with our good Savior and Lord, it wasn't perfect. Things went wrong. And Joseph had to adjust. And we're still adjusting today, right?
And I have the church wine.
On that take, I just changed Sal's name to Job. He must be like Job about that.
There you go.
You know, when you look at the coaches you've been around, refereeing and everything, is there anyone that you said to yourself, wow, I can't believe I'm seeing this guy up close? And, you know, because we all have that, you know, that bucket list, you know, where we want to meet somebody or something. Is there any coach that you had a nice conversation with, or you saw him up close and you go, man, I can't believe I'm sharing the same court as this gentleman?
There's a lot of great coaches out there. My favorite coach, though I actually never refereed for him, was John Wooden. I loved how he treated my dad when he was refereeing. He used to, if he had a disagreement, would roll up his program and kind of make his comments, but it wasn't like in front of everyone, never shamed anyone, always classy. Coaches have such a difficult job. They work for universities that basically want them to win at any expense almost. But there are some coaches out there, they're developing good men. They're striving for character. Their students are making grades. They're building a life plan for their students. They're not just on the court being great athletes, they're scholarship athletes. They're people that are smart, they're studious, they're athletic, and they've got some manners and they're gentlemanly. I love seeing a team when they get on the bus and they've got their bags and their travel bags and they've got their tie tied right and they look sharp after the game. All those things you don't see on the court, there's some good coaches that are building some really good men out there, and of course some good women too.
You know, when you look at the NCAA today, how much has it changed since when you were refereeing? I mean, I know there's, we've got, you know, the Ed O'Bannon thing where the these guys want to get paid. The college football is trying to come in with the, 12 to 16 teams for the playoff. College basketball is absolutely the best because anybody can knock off anybody. How much has it changed today since you refereed? And if you were running the NCAA now, is there anything you change to make it even better than it is today?
Well, this is just me, but since you asked, I'll share. And that is just, I've always loved sports because it was the one thing that brought people together, whether they're black or white, men or women, red or blue, it didn't matter. I do not like the politics of the NCAA today. Way too woke, way too weird, way too whatever. I don't really think it's the NCAA's role to punish a state like North Carolina because they don't agree with their bathroom policies. I don't really think it's the NCAA's role to start to be the social justice warriors for everyone and to tell people what to believe. It's already too divisive in our country over that. Whether people are, again, up or down, in or out, sports was the one place we can come together and say, you know, we may disagree about a lot of things, but here it's not going to be political. It's not going to be weird. Here's where everyone can put on certain colors and we can cheer for a team and afterward shake hands. So if I were to change anything, it would be quit being so woke, quit being so political, quit being so divisive, quit taking stands, quit dividing people. Sports are for everyone, whether you're red, blue, black, or white. That's what I would change.
Now, being a life coach and everything, you know, with today, you know, the COVID-19, the Delta variant, the Omicron, I think the next thing that we're going to be going through is the mental health thing. How do you inspire people? And I know you've done a great job of that with athletes and everything. How do you inspire people and anybody listening to this show that are going through depression, that are going through suicidal thoughts? In a minute and a half, how do you come up with something to get these people on the right track?
Well, the most important thing for mental health is connection. It's to be attached. It's to belong. It's to bond to someone. So what you guys are doing, providing an opportunity for people to listen while they're driving home or while they're doing life, radio, connections, shows, people Zooming, people connecting online, anything that promotes that kind of a connection, attachment, that bond. The branch does well when it's attached to the vine and it bears good fruit. When the branch is broken off and it's isolated and on its own, it's going to shrivel up and die. So mental health has to do with relational attachment. So I say, let's just like group hug, let's love each other. Let's, you know, the things that really hurt people are not the things that hurt people. It's being alone in the things that hurt people. You can survive cancer. You can, you know, your house could be burned down. You could be a little depressed. If you're alone, that's a big problem. If you've got some family and friends around you, we'll get through it. We can do it together. as long as we, you know, are together. So that's why I like being with you guys.
I love you.
We love you. I could sit here and listen to you all night. It's so inspirational. Like I feel like I have like that fight in me now, you know, as we're getting to start wrapping up the show. And I know that you do a lot of things to help people. And how can people and our listeners find you and to be able to connect with you if they're interested? How do we do that?
Well, Dr. Dave is on all the social platforms, and my email is dave@drdavewhite.com. My website's drdavewhite.com. But, you know, they can contact you. We're friends. So it's like you contact Marianne Mark, say, I want to find Dr. Dave. We'll figure each other out. But the bottom line is, I hope everyone has a great Christmas. I hope this is a great time, whether you're grieving a loss or you're going through a hard time or you've lost a job or you're fearful of COVID. I hope this is a time that we can all come together and say, look, problems are problems. There's going to be a lot of those. Could be supply chain, could be whatever. But let's stick together. Because if we stick together and we love each other, forgive each other, are gracious, we can referee a good basketball game. We can life coach a client to well-being. And we can encourage each other as family and friends to thrive. And people want to thrive. And we can. It's not going to be what our president said. It's not going to be a terrible winter. It's going to be a challenging winter, but we're going to get through it together.
Yeah. And I think we could do that through love, peace. And, you know, when you see that person walking down the street, you don't know what kind of day they're having. Stop. Give them a smile. Just say hello. You could be making somebody's day and don't even know that you are. Or if you're going into a store, maybe open the door for that person. You know, do some nice gesture each day. That's what I try to live by.
I look at your Santa hat, Marianne, and it's brightened my day already. It's blinking and, you know, makes people smile. And it says, you know what? Life can be hard. Of course, it's going to be hard. But you know what? We can get through this. We can.
And we all need love. Got that little mistletoe. Still trying.
Mistletoe.
We're still there. Well, we always like to end a show with a chant. And we'd love you if you could hang out just for a few minutes. And that way we could finish the show together. Would you do that?
Amen.
Okay, hold on a second. So, Mark, I have to say, I'm proud of Sal. He tried so hard to get onto the show tonight, but unfortunately, it was a little defeating. But we want to wish him well. We really missed him tonight.
I missed him. You know, he might be wrapped up in the Christmas lights. It might look like National Lampoon's European Vacation or something, but he'll be back.
Or he could be singing the 12 Pains of Christmas right about now.
Just don't put the plug in with the Christmas lights wrapped around.
No, I hope not. But I have to tell you, I just want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas, Mark. And just so happy. We're all blessed to be here. Our producer, Brett, he's fantastic. He really is every time. He puts up with our shenanigans all the time, at least mine, on the screen, off the screen, everywhere we go. And if everybody's listening, I know that I had a lip smacking, trash talking good time, Philadelphia style, of course, right here on Liberty Bell Smack. We are here every Thursday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's prime time, drive time in the East for everybody. And next week, Mark, do you know who we have?
I believe it's Annie Hoffman.
Yeah, she's sports media and branding coach. She's fantastic.
It's getting better and better. These guests, man, they make us. I mean, without them, we're nothing.
I hear you. And then we also have the former sportscaster for Cincinnati Reds and Houston Astros, Bill Brown. He's also going to be on the show next week.
Boy, I'll tell you, a year-end special with those guys. And I mean, going into the new year, looking for bigger and better things, sponsors and everything, taking over Philadelphia. We're just blessed. But the key is it's never the goal. It's a journey, and always stay humble.
Absolutely. And here we had our Christmas spectacular, but next week we have our New Year's Eve celebration coming, even though it's one day before. It's like New Year's Eve Eve.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be all ready.
I don't drink, so I'll be sucking down the Diet Cokes or something. Maybe a virgin strawberry daiquiri without the alcohol. Who knows? Maybe a buckler.
Church wine.
Non-alcohol.
That's what I'm going to call it. But if you are just tuning in, we do have to say goodbye. I'm so sorry. That hour went by so fast with our special guest. We had JP Hornstrom. He was fantastic. We had Dr. Dave White, and I've learned a lot. My heart's filled with love and just thanking everybody. And thank you from everyone at WWDB AM Talk 860 to make this possible week after week and making us better and better. So thank you for that. And we like to end every show with a chant. So Doc, what we do is we count down from 5 to 1, and then we all say Liberty Bell Smack. Can you do that with us?
You got it. Sounds great.
Here we go. Here's our countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liberty Bell Smack.
Woohoo! Merry Christmas, everyone.